Welcome back to Midday on WNYC. I'm Jonathan Capehart. How much of what you read do you really believe? Does new information change your mind? Researchers think that we've reached the post-truth age, a nihilistic state in which the truth is useless because it's impossible to change people's minds. We consider news to be faked or biased. We're unswayed from our own beliefs. Journalist Dan Engberg discusses this argument in his new piece for Slate magazine. We've been told we're living in a post-truth age. Don't believe it. In it, Engberg goes against these claims, arguing the facts still hold weight, even if past studies say otherwise. You can find the article on Slate.com, and I'm glad that it brings Dan Engberg to the show. Welcome.
Thank you.
Okay. Post-truth age or post-fact age, what is this, Dan?
Well, it's an idea it's been around for a while in recent memory, but as it happens, I think it actually, the same fears go back a long, long time. But it's the sense that, whatever ability we used to have to engage in civil discourse and to arrive at some kind of consensus views about the facts, that's faded away or is fading away, and now we're stuck in a kind of civic nightmare where, the arguing that we do only makes things worse.
Mm-hmm. So talk about how did that fade away? What eroded it?
Well, I think it's an open question about whether it really is true that our arguing doesn't do anything, and we have and the role of facts in civil society is faded. But I think this is the current incarnation. I think this goes back about 10 or 12 years. That's when you first started seeing a lot of references in books and articles to this post-truth or post-fact period that we were going into. There was an infamous article in the New York Times Magazine quoting an anonymous George W. Bush administration source. I think it later turned out to be Karl Rove, saying something about the reality-based community.
Yep.
The journalists were in the reality-based community. That was ridiculous, he implied, because the president and the White House was creating their own reality. So that was, Bush W. was referred to at that time as the anti-reality president. That kind of concern, I think, only was amplified when Barack Obama ran for president and these lies about his religion and his history and where he was born, they just spread and seemed impervious to fact-checking. Then there was a brief pause, let's say, and now this idea has come back redoubled force. It may be even exponentially increased force now that we're sort of in the era of what are sometimes called alternative facts, and we have a president who has been well documented to lie on a regular basis.
Yeah, that's one way of talking about it. Look, Dan, so it seems, and I'm glad you brought up President Obama and, his birth certificate and his religion, despite all the fact checking, despite all of the due diligence and investigations showing that, yes, he's indeed an American citizen and he is a Christian. There were just people who didn't believe it at all. And so I'm just wondering, given that and the other examples you cited, do personal and emotional beliefs outweigh fact and information?
Well, certainly they color how we interpret facts and information and how we judge the credibility of any given fact that's presented to us and incorporated into our worldview. I mean, I started my story in Slate with this moment in 2007, and we started our conversation there too. I think it was something profound was happening right then with this stuff about, it wasn't quite about Obama's birth, but about whether he was a Muslim.
Mm-hmm.
Because right then you had, now we're used to these fact-check columns in the newspaper and these fact-check websites. But those really sprang up, like in the fall of 2007, and it was in part part due to the sort of mysterious persistence of this misinformation about Obama. So right around at that time also, there were a bunch of scientists, psychologists and political scientists who were, you know, doing studies on, well, what happens when you give people information? What does it take to change someone's mind? You know, what sort of presentation of the facts, or what amount of fact? And these studies back then were coming to this very distressing result, which was that it wasn't just that facts didn't really work so well to change people's minds. Of course, if you take a, you know, someone who's very convinced of something and you offer them some contrary evidence, you wouldn't expect them to go, oh, you're right. But you might expect them to at least, you know, begin to think about maybe possibly changing their mind. Well, these studies from around 2007, 2008 were finding that when you give people information, sometimes it actually makes them more convinced of what they thought before. It works in reverse.
I want to get into this more. I'm Jonathan Capehart. This is Midday in WNYC, and I'm speaking with Dan Engber about his story in Slate entitled "We've Been Told We're Living in a Post-Truth Age. Don't Believe It." Dan, talk more about this phenomena of people being told something, they believe one thing, they're told the truth, and yet that being told the truth reinforces the false information that they hold.
Okay, so that's social scientists refer to that as the backfire effect or a boomerang effect. It's not a new idea. Such things were documented in the scientific literature going back to the 1940s. Now, I should say right up front that I don't necessarily believe those things exist. I'm just saying that they have been the fact that they've been documented
right.
in the scientific literature doesn't mean they're true. So that's a really important point. It's sort of an ironic one, as we may get into, but
right.
you know, this idea has been around, and it might sound like I'm splitting hairs because, you know, the idea that, I can't convince anyone that, to care about climate change or something, I'd give them the facts and they don't seem to budge. That's different from saying, I give them the facts on climate change and they become even more polarized in their thinking and even more opposed to what I'm saying. That there's, I think, a very important and distressing difference between those two scenarios. And it's the latter scenario, this one where there's backfire, where there's boomerang, where the more information you give people, the less they agree on the underlying facts. That's the idea which, you know, as I said, it's been around the scientific literature since the 40s, but it's really been all over the place for the last 10 years. The media loves it. You know, people like me, science reporters and, mm-hmm. and political reporters. And it's just, you know, it's, I think it's, you know, as we have been in a bit of a panic about the political polarization of America, there are a lot of appeal to this idea. Well, maybe this explains it, because the harder we try to solve this problem, the harder we try to just, you know, explain to people what the underlying reality is, just the more broken up, you know,
right.
our discourse becomes.
Yeah, well, you know, Dan, that creates a problem for you and me as journalists. You know, our job is to report facts and report information to people, and yet we're in this situation where, as you were just talking about, this boomerang effect, where, you know, there are adverse reactions to facts. And so I'm just wondering, what do you think we in journalism and researchers, what we can do to get the news across, to sort of overcome that boomerang effect? Or is that even possible?
Well, let me just, again, so this idea of the boomerang effect has been cited in research going back to the 40s, and there was a bunch of prominent research 10 years ago finding boomerang or backfire effects of one kind or another. But research in the last year or two using larger sample sizes and, I think, more careful methods in a number of different ways have tried to reproduce those findings, and they failed. And what I'm proposing in this story, and I don't want to act like it's my own idea, I'm reporting on this research attempting to replicate the earlier findings on the backfire effect, and I'm trying to summarize what this research is saying. And I think there's very good reason to believe that a lot of that stuff was, you know, false positives in the literature, that there is not very good evidence that this backfire or boomerang occurs. So that's sort of the hopeful message of my story, that, you know, I don't think, if to the extent that this idea of post-truth is based on the notion of backfire, that the more information you give people, kind of the dumber they get, and there are other people use the word post-truth to mean other things, but to the extent that it means that, I think it's wrong. Like, well, I don't think there is evidence for that.
Well, maybe not dumber, but more resistant. I mean, I understand you're saying that, you know, this doesn't bear out anymore, especially with research in the last year or so. But as we saw, particularly with President Obama, and whether he's a Muslim or not, whether he's a citizen or not, the more reports came out disproving those allegations, the more it seemed like people believed them. I'm just wondering, so to your mind, we are not in a post-truth era, and that moment, particularly with President Obama and citizenship and religion, that is an anomaly. It's not exemplary of something that we're in, for real.
Yeah, I mean, again, I know I feel like it may sound like I'm making a hair-splitting claim here, but I will argue why this is a very important hair, and we should split it. But I, you know, something like Barack Obama's where he was born, you know, to say that the myth that he was not born in the United States is persistent. Well, of course that's true. I mean, we know that myth is persistent. We know that myth has been debunked many times, and yet there is a recalcitrant minority of Americans who continue to believe it. But that's different from making the claim that the more we've tried to debunk that myth, the more that myth has grown. But there's a causal link between fact checks of that myth, debunkings of that myth, and the spread of that myth. Mm-hmm. And I don't think there's good evidence to say that's true. So, you know, again, that's people continue to believe something that's wrong. I mean, that's a problem, right? But there, it doesn't mean we should, you know, let's not talk about where Obama was born because it'll just make people more confused. No, I think there's plenty of evidence that spreading the correct information can only help.
Aha. And so that's a great point to make. And so now we have a president of the United States who on a regular basis, either on Twitter or in remarks here and there, will utter the phrase fake news, sort of reinforcing this notion that don't believe what you read, don't believe what you hear on radio or on television. How does that impact your thinking, or does it at all?
Well, I think that it's, you know, he's impeaching the credibility of journalists. That may, for certain Trump supporters, make them more likely to discount information they read in, say, the newspaper. So a newspaper fact check of one of Trump's claims, for example, will be weighted less heavily, in part because of the stuff Trump has been saying. I mean, this is by design. It seems pretty clear that's his goal. So that's not good. But at the same time, you know, again, this is different from saying that we'll reach a certain point where people will say, oh, well, the newspaper, you know, when it's in opposite land, and anything I read to the newspaper, I know that the opposite must be true. That would be a situation where there's backfire or a boomerang, mm-hmm. and I just, you know, based on the best evidence from the study of these things, there just doesn't seem to be a lot of reason to think that happens. Now, it's still tragic if, you know, a mainstream newspaper's lose influence, and lots of people just ignore them or don't, you know, don't pay much attention to whatever claim is being made there. But I don't think we have to worry that the newspaper itself will be pushing people further from the truth by spreading facts.
Well, I mean, okay. I hope, Dan, I hope you're right, because we're we're in a situation where, you know, there are opinion polls out there that show, you know, there is a partisan split on the number of people who believe fake news or not fake news, with Republicans being way out there believing that the press is delivering fake news. But we'll have to leave it there, Dan. I've been speaking with Slate columnist Dan Engber, talking about his cover story for Slate. We've been told we're living in a post-truth age. Don't believe it. Dan, thank you very much for being here today.
Thanks for having me.